We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Foursquare Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
A very blessed good morning to all listeners in Barbados and in the Eastern Caribbean, wherever this program is being heard. May the blessings of the Lord rest upon all of you. May you hear the Word of God today, and may you be blessed by the Word of God today. We're here to bless you every Friday morning at 11:30. And thank you for your faithfulness in turning on or tuning in to listen to our program and to hear the words that we're given from the Lord and the blessings that we're given to you from the Lord. Because we're coming here every Friday with the intention to be a blessing to you and ultimately to bless and honor and worship and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we start today, we're going to ask Elder Octave to start with a prayer for all of us in Jesus' name.
Mighty God, we give the praise, the honor, and the glory on this great and awesome day. We thank you for another opportunity that we can bring the Word of God, to bring the light to the people who so desperately need it. We thank you, Father, that as we bring your Word, to bring the light of Christ to those who are so looking for another way out and a course of direction, we pray, Father, that hearts will be touched, mindsets will be broken, chains will be loosed, Father, and that ultimately you will be given the glory. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Elder Octave. Praise God. I have with me also in the studio here Apostle Chris and Reverend Gail.
Good morning.
Praise God.
Good morning, Jesus. Everyone.
We're just back from Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing experience, as usual. It was the Foursquare annual connection convention. We call it connection because we're having people from over 170 countries, nations, Foursquare is in 175 countries. And we try to get as many of them as possible. And it's the most awesome experience you can have. Over 3,000, almost 4,000 people in one room, one place. Yeah, the Gear Lord auditorium. In Gaylord Resort, in the auditorium, worshiping God. Amen. Together, and the presence of God,
yes,
and the glory of God was so great, you could actually feel it. And I, you know what I love, Reverend Gail, is that those people, when we are worshiping, they run to the altar, yeah, and they kneel at the altar and worship. Praise, yeah, God.
They pray.
Oh, Lord. I mean, that's what you call crazy worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you take off everything that's you, you strip yourself of yourself,
yeah,
and you lay yourself bare before the Lord. We call it being clamorously foolish, yes, in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And I enjoy that. You know, and it reminds me, it was like a little taste of heaven. Mm. When we all get to heaven,
it will sustain
worship. People. Continual worship, even the flowers and the trees, everything in heaven worships. Praise God. So if you're not used to worshiping and you plan to go to heaven, you're going to change your mind.
Awesome.
In heaven, it's going to be sustained, continual worship to God. Holy, holy, holy. Even as we speak, the angels, the elders are taking off their golden crowns and the beasts and out there worshiping God, saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What I was really touched by the fact that all the speakers had a similar theme.
Yes.
It was about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rested. And you know, we shared that. We started to share that before we left Barbados.
So
we went down there. We went straight into that same thread,
yes,
of the Holy Spirit coming. And what happens when the Holy Ghost comes? Well, you must have the torch, the flame.
Yes.
Keep the flame of the fire of the Holy Ghost alive.
Yes.
You know, and lit and torch it and pass that torch to the younger ones.
Yes.
And you know what I like, what I love about Foursquare and the connection they have every day, all day workshops and classes for children
yes,
and all ages. Different ages. It's like being at school.
Yeah.
they concentrate a lot on the next gen, you know, and those places are packed, and people give themselves as volunteers just to go there to minister to the children. It is just amazing. Very, very powerful. Wonderful. And I like on the last night, on the last night, they concentrated on the next gen.
Yes.
And they bought them up.
Mm-hmm.
And hands were laid on all of them. And they were blessed and released. And, you know, and prophesied to and, you know, sent out back to their homes with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the torch.
Passing the torch
to go. If you don't have the youth, you don't have a legacy.
It's true.
So you need to have a legacy in your church, in your community. Wherever we are, if you have a legacy, praise God. And I thank God because, you know, he took us there and blessed us. And I also let the word from the speakers, apart from this, receiving the Holy Spirit, you must also be repentant. Always check yourself.
Yeah.
If somebody says good things to you, don't take it out to yourself.
Yeah.
Just
pour it out.
Pour it out to some, pour it out unto the Lord. Because every good thing that we are or that we will become is because of God.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever we do, our strengths, our weaknesses, our you know, all high notes, all high times. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Whoever we are, whatever we do, however qualified we are, it is because of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are alive, you're breathing right now. Every breath that you take, it's because of the Lord. So when people do good things to you or say great things about you, compliment you, don't suck it in and start saying, wow, look at me. Give it to the Lord. I just love that. Yeah. You know, and I one of the things that stuck with me is when the pastor, Natalie, said, you can become very busy doing God's work and become too busy to be in his presence.
Yes.
And we have to be careful of that as pastors because church work don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
It increases every single day. You get it in the morning. The phone rings early in the morning. You answer that phone call. And that phone call means that you make up making that a phone call. And then, you know, you
want to, domino effect.
Oh, man. But I tell you, look, it's half day.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is really shortening the days. You get in the morning, but till 11 o'clock comes, it's evening.
It's true.
I can see 11 o'clock, day is gone.
It's gone.
And then you realize, hey, I haven't spent time before the Lord.
Yes.
We have to. Well, can I say something to you, man of God, a woman of God, you minister of God, God has given you responsibility over his flock. We have to spend time before the Lord. Because if we don't spend time before the Lord, we're not going to get what is needed to give to the people. We have to go to the gas station to get off fill up so we can drive the car to wherever our destination. Similarly, we have to go to God so we can go to the church and preach on Sunday morning and teach our people and pray and cover them, you know, with the word of God and the spirit of the Lord. And so it's important. That was very challenging for me.
Yes.
I thought I would share that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that popped up that you would like to share before we go into our...
The same thing with Natalie. She called it being harbingers, which is people who pursue, who keep going forward, you know, and I thought that was really great. But what I love about Foursquare is that they not only think about the next gen, but they also remember the forerunners, and they pay special attention to those who have worked tirelessly in the fields, who have been doing 40, 50, 60 years as Foursquare. And they give kudos to them, have their own session with them, the older people,
of
you know,
course,
and
the elders. They give honor to the elders.
Honor the elders. Yeah. But what excites me about connection is that you meet people from all over,
please.
And we speak the same language. We talk the same language, the language of the King, and we praise God with that. And you know, you meet people, and all of a sudden you become best friends. And that person
that
is from Papua New Guinea or Hawaii.
I'm going home meeting your best friend.
I was a volunteer for that.
Yes,
I had that sign.
I never did volunteer.
Yes, I was a greeter.
I greeted hundreds of people at the entrance of the auditorium.
Yes.
And then bragging about it. They said to her, don't come with that to me and give me no COVID.
We had a great time. We had a great team, and I bless God that we were able to go out and come back.
Thank you, Apostle, and Chris.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and the team really worked well together.
Yeah,
and we saw the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
We came back feeling full, full and impacted.
Yes,
and we have had impartation. That's important. It was not a trip on a holiday. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to go anywhere until the last day. Praise God. I wouldn't say where we went after. Right, but there's something when you travel with them, they like to go to certain stores like Macy's and Ross. Any chance you get. Praise God. And go to the last act and that kind of stuff. But we had all day, the time we left on Sunday, we took about a day, we were in the hotel because there's so much going on all day. Workshops all day. To go from one workshop to the next. In the mornings, I started meeting something at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes, you did.
Had meetings, you know. So because I'm a Foursquare leader, mm-hmm. national leader, so long responsibilities on the Foursquare leaders and so on. So we had a great time. I give God praise at this time.
Awesome.
I give God the honor and the thanks for taking us there safely, all nine of us, and bring us back safely and imparting to us. So we ask God to continue to bless and anoint and inspire and instruct the Foursquare leaders that they will stay on cue and will continue to be led, not by intellect or degree, but be led by the Spirit of the Lord, which is very important for success.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, praise God. I shared a word on Sunday. Today I want to just share that with you. You know, we have been sharing in the last few months on the power of God and the Holy Spirit coming and what happens when the Holy Ghost comes and so on. But I shared on from every setback. I'm sure that every pastor will preach a sermon like that at some point. From every setback, there's a comeback. When I look at the setback of David and the setback of Mary, as she was in the tomb, lost everything that was valuable to her, and the setback for the disciples, you know, it looks discouraging, you know, when you look at it on page one. But as you turn the pages and you get to the closing chapters, you see the awesome comeback.
Amen.
Praise God. The mighty comeback that has benefited us today. Because out of the comeback of the disciples, the apostles, we now have the church. The church was birthed out of their comeback. And so we look at how David, a young man in the backside of the desert, you know, forgotten even by his father.
Yeah.
When Samuel went to anoint a new king to Jesse's house, he did not even think of the father. Didn't even remember David.
No.
And Samuel said, "What is that? Do you have another son?" And he said, "Yes, but he saw him and smelly too because he's with a sheep."
Yeah.
You know? He said, "Everybody sit down. We will not do anything else until he comes in." And at one point, Samuel almost anointed one of the sons of Jesse.
Yes.
Because he said, "You looking at his mind, and God had to remind him, no. I don't look at the size of a man.
Yeah.
And the outer appearance, he looks not on what you see outside. Mm-hmm. He looks at the heart. And I've always said it, God is a heart man. God is about the heart. He's always checking our hearts. So every morning you get up, check your heart. Make sure it's right. David always said, "Look, cleanse me, Lord, because my heart. Give me a new heart. Renew my heart, Lord." You know, that's what God said. He loved David because he was always looking at his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Checking his heart. Admitting that it's starting to clean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Asking the Lord to clean his heart. And so David was almost forgotten until Jesse said, "He must have had a son." He said, yeah, oh, wait a minute. They said, when he came in, he said, "This is the one." And he anointed him. And you would think that when he got anointed as king. Can I say something to somebody listening? When God calls you to ministry, you would think all of a sudden everything's going to go great. And it's going to be hunky-dory. And you're going to be excited. And you know, you're going to preach to praise the Lord. Everybody's going to love you and cheer you on and clap. And excited for you. Hello. That doesn't happen. Because guess what? Jesus was anointed. He was baptized, the Holy Ghost came into him, and he went straight in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
Bless God. Mm-hmm. So guess what? It ain't going to work like that. You have to be tested. You got to test your fortitude, your resistance, your spirituality, the way you serve God, your devotion, your dedication. It will all be tested. So David was tested. You know, next, after he was anointed, he had to face Saul, he had to face a giant.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And so here he was, you know, facing the giant and successfully defeating the giant. What an awesome thing. Guess what? That didn't help. That added to the fury.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Increase it.
Because here the ladies dancing and singing, "Saul has killed his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Saul said, "What? Now I started working here, dog. Getting that Eclipso. Bringing that Eclipso. Now I'm working. Now I'm going to work for Popova. That's dog. And for that sour dog. He got back mad. He said, I'm going to kill this guy. And the only way to be able to get back to where I should be the one that everybody's going to see is, you know, is to get rid of David. So here's David. Anointed. Full of the Holy Ghost. Successful warrior.
Prophetic word of
what prophetic
life.
Word of his life? Walked to the palace after his defeat of Goliath, with Goliath's head in his hand, dripping blood all over the carpet of the palace. Bless God. And now suddenly he got a word for his life.
Yeah.
Javelin at his head. My God. Can I say something to somebody? Your setback might be difficult. You plan it things and it's not working according to how you plan. You thought that this was going to work. You thought God sent me here. God appointed me. And I'm here. And yet, I'm not getting the cooperation and the support. God is with you.
Amen.
And if God is with you, who can be against you? You cannot give up, though. You have to hang in there. You have to stay with God. Stay with the plan of God. In your setback time, God is already... I've got to say this to you, first of all. Before you get the setback, God has already planned to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to have a great comeback. You don't see it when you go through your setback because there's so much pain and distress and discouragement and so on. And so, down in the cave, wherever he could run for me, in that sink, David had to run. The Bible said that David escaped for his life. He's a fugitive on the run for his life, anointed and appointed, but running. That happens to so many of us. God called us, and yet when we think things are going well, we're being chased by men, we're being chased by this body, the deacon and the this body and that body, everybody got something to say or to do against you.
Yeah.
But thank God there's a comeback.
Amen.
Praise God.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 22, and reading from verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him.
Out of in the cave, God is building an army. His own brothers that was talking about it,
yes,
saying that he came over to see the battle and all that. He's very naughty and malicious. Now, they saw him defeat the Goliath, so they know his potential.
Yes.
He's a true warrior.
Yes.
He could kill giants.
Yes.
So let's work. If he can't come against him, let's work with him.
Yes.
So down, and he is in the cave locked down from a mad, crazy Saul seeking. And Saul was a plain, you know. Saul meant death to David. But down there, in that cave, in that place where you're cut off from civilization, cut off from humanity, cut off from the stories and all that kind of stuff. Cut off from what you know is to be a regular life for you. You know, doing things differently. If you're in the cave right now, I want to speak to you. Don't give up.
Yeah.
See what God did? He sent men that were distressed too.
Yes.
Men that were discouraged too. Men that were disheartened.
Yes.
Men that had the money with the old floor mill. The old the water, like the power. The old water mill. They were in debt. They owed everybody. And I had to have it out. But God was building a mighty army for David to come back strong. Not by himself. God was gathering people to him. So I'm saying to somebody today, you are in a cave, but God is building an army around you.
Praise God.
Don't despise the small group that you have around you.
Small beginnings.
Don't despise those small people that are around you. If you are around you, keep teaching, keep talking. God is building an army. Praise God. So David from his comeback in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Mary. Praise God. Mary went to the tomb to find the body, to look for Jesus, to embalm his body. She went there alone. Because why? She had a setback. Why? Because the man, the great man, gave her life giver, her defense, her protector, her dad, her everything, was gone.
Yes.
She had a life that she never thought she would have. Being a prostitute, she was rejected, and women scoffed at her and scorned her. Suddenly, he made her somebody. She was important. She was able to walk around with him and disciples and hear the word and be blessed. Suddenly, her life is gone. She's got a significant setback. All that she thought that she could be is gone.
Yeah.
She'd gone to the tomb to at least give the last rites, anoint him, embalm him. And then, here what happened. Praise God.
Earlier on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to John, to Simon Peter, and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb. And he bent over, looked in the strips of the linen lying there. Then Simon came along with him and went straight into the tomb. And he himself saw that the strips were there and there was no Jesus. Verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." And at this time, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was him. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried, "Rabboni." And he said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Welcome back.
Yes.
She persevered.
Yes.
She cried, she wept, she looked down, she waited, even when the two disciples came and joined her, and then left her alone.
Yes.
Broken and distressed in the graveyard. She stayed in the graveyard. Sometimes you are going to a place where it's like a graveyard. There's nobody there, there's no joy, there's no happiness. The sons of God. You don't even want to sing. You don't even have the strength to do anything. You're just crying and talking to God and crying and looking and praying. But guess what? He came.
Yes.
He came back.
Hallelujah.
It was a comeback. Mm-hmm. I want to say to you, your comeback is on the way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
David got his comeback in the cave. Mary got her comeback in the grave. Now the disciples lost Jesus and they spirited, and you know, in the room. Mm-hmm. And suddenly God told him to tell him, wait on the upper room until the angel reports for the night. And then the day of Pentecost came. Read that for me.
Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being uttered. Bless God. Hallelujah. And then Peter addressed the crowd and he stood up, that's verse 14 with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." Hallelujah. "No, this is what was spoken in the last day. God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people."
Praise God. What a comeback. Distress, discouraged, can't even walk around, too afraid to walk. Suddenly, the power came and we know the history. I'm going to give Pastor Chris a chance to say something quickly. Come back. David had his comeback in the cave. Mary had a comeback in the grave. And the disciples had a comeback in the upper room. Wherever you are right now, I say to you, you're going to have your comeback.
Amen.
If you're in a grave, if you're in a cave, if you're in some upper room waiting on the Lord, keep waiting, keep praying. Your comeback is coming because God took those disciples that were wishy-washy and faithless and fearful and turned them into machines that turned the world upside down. They had a significant comeback. Pastor Chris.
One thing we can all resolve about, one thing we can feel safe about, God will never let us down.
Yeah.
No matter what we go through, as well as our hands, as well as our hearts, as well as our all lives are given to him, he will bring something awesome out of us. And you see what God did in the garden when Mary Magdalene and the whole company went and met him. God turned up.
Yes.
When they thought they were at their lowest end, God will come through for you.
Yes.
When at the doulam, When David was there,
yeah.
They thought it was he lost him.
Of course.
Yeah. God will always come
to him. Yeah,
He's looking for men and women who will be determined to keep their eyes fixed on him.
Please.
No matter what the tensions are, no matter what the problems are, he promised he will come through. And he has. And whenever he does, there will always be a victory for us.
Yeah.
We can trust in him. No matter what temptations, not what trials, what problems you have before you, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He will bring you through.
Thank you, Apostle Chris. Everywhere you look, from the grave to the cave to the upper room, there is always a comeback.
Amen. Yes.
So our setback is not the end of us. Our setback don't define us. God has already planned to bring you back greater and more wonderful. Praise God. Your setback will cause because of the hurt and feel as though you're alone and deserted. But guess what? When the comeback comes, you will have recovery. Praise God. You will have a return to success greater than before.
Yes.
And those that don't that talk about you now will look and watch you. And God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your comeback is coming. Brother Gail.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. That's an awesome word today. Don't mind your setback. There's a comeback for you in the future, and that comeback is with God.
Yes.
And we thank God for that word today. Today, we are giving much thanks and praise to God for our sponsors, Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Please give them a call and benefit from their services. Contact information 436-4753. I know that you've been blessed by that word because I've been blessed by that word. So please let us know how this program, how our words, how the Spirit of God has been impacting you through In God's Glory. Contact us at 422-2512 or 432-6479. And we are located 4th Avenue, Rock Dundo, St. James. And remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive.
Praise God. Thank you, Reverend Gail. Right now, I want to pray for you, those are listening, in your setback season. God is with you. Holy Spirit, overshadow that lady. Amen. Overshadow that man. Overshadow that pastor. Overshadow that leader right now.
Amen.
And give him an injection of faith,
yes.
Lord, and of empowerment, like you did with the apostles in the upper room. Jesus. Let them feel your presence that they've never felt before. Let them know they're not alone, but you're with them. Thank you and bless you, Lord. And they're experiencing their setback now, but tomorrow they'll experience their comeback. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for it. We give you praise and honor. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.